O merciful Lord, who desires worshipers who honor you in spirit and in truth, send us your Holy Spirit to cleanse us from dead works and to serve you in righteousness and holiness and to honor your great and saving name for giving us Jesus, who is the expression of your special eternal love for the salvation of everyone who believes. Bless us now in our worship. In his name, amen. Welcome to all of you to our service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, or whose birth at Bethlehem we are eagerly preparing and expecting and will be celebrating again this week. We pray that the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. Thanks and praise, of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come among us with your great might. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first Bible lesson today is drawn from 2 Samuel. Of course, we celebrate Christmas this week, the birth of Jesus in the town of David, Bethlehem. In this reading, we hear about the Lord coming to David when he was, I think, as a king at this time, and he was reminding him that he would be establishing through his coming generations, his son Solomon, and then the family line onward to Jesus, a kingdom of Christ, that would have no end, unlike the kingdoms of the world that have ends. And of course, we are part of that kingdom through faith in the Christ child today. We read in 2 Samuel 7, 8 to 16, "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I'll provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you, my people, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He's the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Here ends the first lesson. Now join responsively reading portions of Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones.
O Lord God Almighty, who is like you?
You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you.
Who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord.
They rejoice in your name all day long. And our next lesson is drawn from the book of Romans. These are the very concluding words of that letter written by the Apostle Paul on basically a treatise on the doctrine of justification, the central truth of our faith, that we are declared righteous for Jesus' sake, the one whose birth we will celebrate this week. And this reading contains a doxology that is a word of praise to the Lord who has revealed this marvelous mystery of salvation in the Christ of Bethlehem. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Here ends the second lesson. Alleluia, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We join together confessing our Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word today is written in Luke chapter 1. We read there verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, whose entrance into the world as a tiny baby at Bethlehem we are preparing to celebrate, dearly beloved of God. It's customary for parents of newborns to send out announcements about the birth of the child that has just entered the world to family and to friends to let them know the exciting news. Birth announcements generally include information like the baby's name, the time of birth, its weight and size. Birthdays of little ones are indeed happy days, well worth publicizing, because every new human life is something that is made possible only by the power of Almighty God. Each of us has reason to say with the psalmist, "Lord, you've searched me, you know me, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." This morning, however, we're going to give attention to the birth or the birth announcement of all birth announcements, the one that transcends all others for its glory and wonder. We want to ask the question this morning, what kind of a child will the baby Jesus be? And also then consider the Bible's wonderful answer, he's going to be a human child, born of Mary, but at the same time, a divine child conceived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. The announcement of Jesus' birth was unique and special in a number of ways. Not only was it given 9 months before the birth of the child, normally such announcements come after the child's born, but is given a very special manner, and our text records it in the sixth month, that is, in the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. God sent one of his leading angels, named Gabriel, down to earth to the Galilean town of Nazareth to inform a young teenage girl, Mary, who had just become engaged to a man who was employed in Nazareth as a carpenter, to let her know she was the one God chose to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. He was probably right in the middle of common, ordinary household chores, maybe cooking in the kitchen or cleaning, when Gabriel appeared out of the blue and spoke those words, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And by the way, as we sang in that hymn, highly favored, that refers to God's special blessing, picking this woman out of all the women of the world, even though she too was a sinner and needed a Savior just as much as everybody else. But she was favored in that way. She was the one God picked. And when the angel noticed how Mary was taken aback, her mind overcome with angst over this announcement, what did my eyes see? What did my ears just hear? She was then, or the angel spoke to her this next word, "Fear not. Fear not, Mary. God loves you dearly. You're going to be the mother of a son. You're going to give him the name Jesus. He's going to be very great. He's going to be known as the Most High God. The Lord God is going to give to your child the throne of his forefather David, and he's going to be a king over the house of Jacob forever. His reign is never going to have an end." And we first want to note about this amazing birth announcement, how Gabriel made it very clear that the coming Messiah king was indeed going to be born as a common, ordinary human child. When he'd make his entrance into the world 9 months later, he'd have tiny little fingers just like any other baby, a little button of a nose. He'd inform his parents about his empty stomach by crying. We sometimes sing, you know, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. He probably cried and fussed. He would be dependent upon his parents, as all newborns are, needing their tender, loving care and their protection. His body would need to be cleaned, and he would need to get changed. Everything that's true about ordinary human children. Why is that significant? Well, it means that when the Christ child entered our world, he was born as ordinary human children, also subject to the law of God. It was necessary for the Christ child, as it grew up to adolescence and adulthood, to fulfill every one of the precepts of God's holy law, even as it is required for all children. A big difference, of course, is that the baby Jesus, as he grew up, did not need to do this for his own sake, but for our sake. And that's something that we do well to remember and carefully reflect on, in order that we might experience all the joy and the peace and the blessedness of Christmas. May we not neglect to consider and ponder this all-important aspect of the work of the Lord Jesus, his coming here and placing himself under the law for us as our substitute. As Paul writes in Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons, become God's own sons and daughters through faith in this Christ child. Another reason for our Christmas joy also stems from our Spirit-given faith and understanding that Jesus was born of Mary as an ordinary human child so that he could then serve as our substitute by suffering the punishment we deserve for our sins of not keeping God's law perfectly by dying the death of the cross, writes the author to the Hebrews. Since we are people of flesh and blood, we have a common physical nature as human beings. He also became a human being so that by going through death as a human being, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, the devil, and set free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. From this, it is obvious that Jesus did not come here to help angels. He didn't come here to save Gabriel or Michael or any of the other millions of angels, but to help us people. It was imperative that he should be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God and make atonement for the sins of the people. Christ being born under the law for us, keeping it perfect, and then suffering the death of the cross. Now let's go on to consider that other key aspect of the birth of the Lord Jesus, which gives Christmas its glory, fills our hearts with wonderment. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary as a divine child. Noted earlier, Gabriel's announcement upon his appearance to Mary that memorable day, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And here's how the birth of Jesus, so vastly different, once again, from all other children, because he was born as the God-man. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be God? You remember the story in the Bible of the rich man who came to Jesus one day on the road, knelt down before him and asked what good thing he needed to do in order that he might get into heaven. You remember Jesus' response to that man? How he told him, well, keep the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. Well, the man was glad to tell Jesus about how he'd done such a nice job of doing that from the time he was little. How Jesus then looked at him and loved him and said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And how that man then walked away from Jesus, terribly disappointed and feeling blue, because he was made to realize that he had not done the masterful job of obeying God's commandments as he thought he had been doing. So why do I bring this story up in connection with our discussion of the birth of Jesus as true God? As a reminder, on the one hand, of how impossible it is for any mortal man or woman to live the flawless life of perfection God requires to gain eternal life on their own. And on the other hand, to emphasize why Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit and being born of a virgin is so important and so indescribably wonderful. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas because he was born as the Son of God, possessing in himself the ability to live as true God, a holy life for us, to fend off all the temptations of the devil so that his sinless life in conformity with God's commandments might then be credited to each one of us by faith, and all of our sins erased from the divine ledger forever. For example, our transgressions of observing church festivals like Easter and Christmas at times in a ho-hum manner, done it before, nothing special. Our iniquities of allowing ourselves at times to be distracted by the glow and the glitter of the world's empty way of observing Christmas. Our sins of worshiping the Lord with hearts that are not brimming over with wonderment and awe for all that He in love has done for us. And all our other moral failures of which we're guilty are missing of the bullseye of the perfection of the target. You know, that's what sin is, the basic meaning of the word sin, missing of the bullseye of holiness, of the target that God expects. And also the original sin that we're born with, that we did get handed down to us by our parents. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary with no sin virus passed on to Him from sin-infected parents, so that He might then fulfill God's law for us, become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And His deity was also essential, so that when He went forward to the cross of Calvary, offered up His life there, that the blood that He shed on the cross was so precious that it could compensate for all the sinners of the world from the beginning of time to the very end. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's a passage in Psalms that says, no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him, because the ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. And St. Peter writes in his first epistle, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. And so as you travel in spirit to Bethlehem this week, Thursday, Friday, as you step into the stable in spirit, walk over to the manger, fix your gaze upon the baby that's lying there with hay for a pillow and a mattress of straw. As you look at his little fingers and button of a nose, perhaps hear him fussing, ponder why he lies in such mean estate, where oxen and cattle have been feeding, that it's out of love for us sinners that the silent word is pleading. Think about how nails and spear will pierce him through, and how he'll bear the cross for me and you. And then worship him in reverent awe with a heart brimming over with love. We close then with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the marvelous manner in which you gave our most precious Christmas gift, your only sinless Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Help us to gain a glimpse of your great love for us again this Christmas. Keep us mindful of the purpose for Jesus' coming, and keep us ever grateful that he came for us. In his name we ask it. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Not your Holy Spirit
from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.
You may be seated. This time we'll have the offering brought forward, and then we're going to have a prayer petition on behalf of the family of Susie Hartmeister, Mark's wife, who was called out of this life this past Thursday. Prayer of comfort for the family, and then also a prayer for preparation for as we celebrate Christmas, and then the Lord's Prayer. But you may bring the offering forward. We pray. Lord of love, we remember in our prayers the family of Susie Hartmeister, who's been taken from them by death. We ask that you'd give them strength in this hour of grief and comfort them with the precious assurance of your love for them in Christ. May this death remind us all how quickly our lives on earth come to an end, and lead us all to use the time you've given us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word. And when you summon us, may we be found in sincere repentance and steadfast faith, prepared to stand before your judgment seat through the merits and the righteousness of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, who's made all things in heaven and on earth to serve your will and to witness to your glory and goodness, we give you joyful thanks for the coming of your Son Jesus, and for all the blessings of salvation you've provided for us in him. With repentant hearts, we turn to you, O God. We acknowledge our transgressions and confess that we've failed to do the good that we ought to have done, and that we have done the evil which we should have avoided. Forgive us and stir us to a sense of the gravity of our sins. Awaken us to our need for daily repentance and renewal, and by your grace, deliver us from temptations and all that causes us to fall. Cleanse the work of our hands and the thoughts of our hearts by the working of your Spirit. Come to heal and renew us. Grant us the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins through the Lord Jesus, so that as forgiven saints, we may have that peace that passes all understanding. Dear Lord, we pray for the wounded in spirit, the distressed in mind, the anguished in heart. Let your mercy shine on them. For all who are away from home in any service or calling, in particular for those who are serving our country overseas this holiday season, we ask you to accompany them with your light and love. For captives and prisoners, for the desolate and forsaken, for all in peril of life or soul, we ask for your comfort and aid. For the sick and aged, for those who mourn the dying, be especially gracious, O Lord. Lift up their spirits and give them the perfect peace of your holy child, Jesus. In thanks for this gift that no words can describe, the gift of Christ our Lord, we pray, dear Father, keep us steadfast so that we may evermore hold dear this gift by faith. Grant that our hearts may be a fit dwelling place for your Son, and that we may know the joy of his presence, the blessing of following in his steps, and the glory of that crown which he's promised to all who trust in him. All these things we ask in his name. We also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
The closing hymn is found in the Tan Hymnal.